it's your first time here today, like Luke from Tenet Luke, you're getting picked on today. We're all on about you. But if it's your first time here today in Grace, we do want to give you a warm round of applause. You're very welcome. And if it's your millionth time, you're still very welcome. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, will we pray before we begin? Yeah, will we stand to our feet? This is the last time now. It's like Mass, I know. We're going to stand to our feet. And this is a house of prayer, and we are going to pray before we hear the word of the Lord. So let's close our eyes. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that whatever's gone on this week, we can be found here in your presence today. Lord, Lord, we acknowledge your grace and your kindness and your protection this week over our lives.
Amen.
And in the house of the Lord, we are grateful. We thank you before we ask you for anything, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, for each single person in this room, that you would whisper to them what they need to hear today.
Amen.
We pray for comfort, encouragement, deliverance, healing, peace, joy. And God, as always, we come before you and ask for your forgiveness. Wash us white as snow by your precious blood. And we forgive those who have sinned against us as well. So your people are listening, Lord. We are expectant for you to move here today. We love you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We honor you.
Amen.
We believe your word. And we trust that everything that you say today is true.
Amen.
And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. Grab a seat. Grab a seat. Grab a seat. The title of today's word is When You Don't Know What to Do. And this is part one, so guess what? You're listening to me again next week. Hallelujah.
Hi, yeah.
Okay, Pam is excited. Thanks, Pam.
Hi,
cheers,
yeah,
love.
Thank you.
No bother. So, when you don't know what to do, I'm going to read out some situations where we don't know what to do, yeah? Here's the first one. When the self-checkout says unexpected item in the bagging area. And you have to stand there and kind of look awkward. And where's the attendant? They don't even check what you have in the bagging area, don't they? They just type in their number and then scan a code and think, grand, work away. Here's the second one. When you're waving at someone and realise they were waving at the person behind you. Like, what do? Are you confident and keep waving and then go, actually, I'm waving to someone behind you? Doing it back? Third one. When you see a spider in your room and you have to decide whether to be brave or to move house. Anyone else hate spiders? Lads, it's tough out here. People who aren't Irish are like, spiders are nothing. For the Irish, it's a big deal. We don't have snakes or lizards or things that can kill us. Spiders are the closest thing, really. Number four, when you accidentally send a text to the wrong person.
Oh, this one.
This one. Now, if you don't gossip or say anything bad, you're good, aren't you? But when you text the person about them, but you didn't mean to text them, don't do it. Number five, when someone says, let's go around the room and share something about ourselves. Shoot me. It's the worst, isn't it? But we know as well, there's situations in our lives, and I guarantee nearly every single person has one here today, where there's something going on and you don't know what to do. Yeah? Here's some that I came up with. Let's see if the Lord speaks to you. Here's the first one. When every conversation seems to make the relationship worse. Second one, the conflict has gone on so long, you don't know how to fix it. You feel stuck in your job. You have so many options, but you don't know which one is God's will. An unexpected bill has set you financially back. Living in chronic pain and not having any solutions. Watching someone's health decline and feeling powerless. Retiring from work and wondering what you do with your time. Trying to understand God's will when there's no clear direction. And trying to confront an issue or letting it go. Brothers and sisters, can we all recognize that there's something in our life where we're going, God, I don't know what to do. Yeah? We all humble enough to say that today?
Yes.
I am. But we're going to look at biblically what we can do in these situations today. And we are going to the Old Testament and to a guy called Jehoshaphat. And if you don't know who he is, that's no problem. All you need to know is he's the king of Judah and he is over God's people. Easy enough, yeah? He's the king of Judah, he's over God's people. So we are reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to 14. And Heavenly Father, we love your word. We thank you for it. Bless it today as we read it. Amen? Amen. Here's what the word of God says. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on King Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek what? The Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is our God. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Amen. Come on, church, come on. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but read it with me, but our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel. This is the word of the Lord. Next week we're going to look at the prophecy and the battle, all the nitty gritty gory stuff, so come back for that. But we're going to stop here today. We read, they did not know what to do. So we're going to look at four things from these verses to help us figure out what to do God's way. Here's the first thing that we see. There is a surprise attack. We read this. After the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on Jehoshaphat, messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. The scripture doesn't tell us they declared war because of whatever. They declared war because they were already fighting. They declared war because they wanted more territory. They declared war because someone said something, whatever. There's no reason given. And if you read the chapter before this in Chronicles 19, Jehoshaphat was doing the work of the Lord. He was going to people saying, repent to God, come back to God. He was putting judges in place to spiritually guide the people. He was doing everything right. But yet he gets attacked. And the Lord would say to people here today, you've been attacked, but you've been doing everything right. You haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes we think the fights that come against us are because of our own sin. You'll know if it's your sin because you'll have a conviction about it. There'll be consequences to it. I'm talking to a room of smart people. No one is stupid here. Can I get an amen? Amen. You're smart. You know when you messed up. You know when it's your fault. So when it comes out of the blue like that, brothers and sisters, it's spiritual. He's doing the work of the Lord, and then a fight begins out of nowhere. A war. The war comes from nowhere. And the second thing we read in that scripture is the army's coming against you, Jehoshaphat. It's not Judah. It's not the people of God. It's not this kingdom. It's you. And brothers and sisters, the war is personal. And it happens in our life. It's a boss who, for some reason, picks on you. It's someone questioning your character as a Christian, going, you. It's one of your children going, it's your fault. It becomes very personal. I believe the Lord would say today to people, where you have had a fight this week that's come out of nowhere, and you know you've honoured the Lord, you know you haven't done anything wrong, brothers and sisters, it's spiritual. Blessings can bring battles. You can be flourishing in one area of your life, and then you think you're failing because of it. You're not. The Lord is with you, and everything has a spiritual nature. So can I encourage you here today, if all hell has broken loose in your life, that doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Usually it means that the enemy is trying to attack you. The enemy only attacks things that are valuable. If you are useless in the kingdom of God, he won't attack you. He won't even go near you. But if you're taking ground for the kingdom, if your family is trying to honour the Lord, if you're trying to do right in your workplace, if you are trying to honour the Lord in your relationship, that's where the enemy will get you. And the enemy attacks two things, your mind and your family. Brothers and sisters, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. Through the blood of Jesus, you have the spiritual authority to say, hands off Satan. Get off my family, get out of my mind, get out of my workplace, get out in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Here's the second one, when we don't know what to do. Here's what we see in this portion of scripture. It's fighting in the family. One of the enemy's favourite places to get assault. What's the first fight in scripture recorded?
Cain and Abel,
two brothers. And it ends in murder. Talk about messed up, eh? Joseph and his brothers, they sell him into slavery. You think your family screwed up? That's a whole other level, isn't it? Third one, King David and his son, Absalom. And he rebels against him. This is all over scripture. Jesus went through it too. So where you're trying to honour the Lord in your family, the enemy wants to come and get you right there. And I was praying this week, and the Lord spoke so clearly to me about people, and this week in particular, it was all hell breaking loose for families. And the Lord wants to speak to you today. We read this. After the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Mennonites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Now, if you read scripture, especially the Old Testament, it goes into names, doesn't it? Okay, who reads their Bible? Yeah, okay, it goes into names. Names of places, names of people, names of tribes. Scripture in the Bible, the living word of God, nothing is by accident. If you dig deeper, there's such information. So when you read stuff like this, a lot of the time we just skim over it and go grand. But when you read deeper into it, what you find is these guys are all related. The tribe of Judah comes from Jacob, you can see it in yellow. Moab are descendants of Lot. Ammon is descendants of Lot. And Edom, Seir are descendants of Esau. They're all cousins. Brothers and sisters, this is not strangers attacking them as family. In our lives, it's really not a stranger that's going to start a fight with us out of nowhere. The biggest battles we face relationally are in our families. And here's what we read. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. Now, Tom Burke, Pastor Tom, loves a map, doesn't he? Lads, I don't, just being honest. I don't do geography. I dropped it after the junior cert. Can barely read a map. I do Google Maps. That's what I do. Shortcut is right. But again, everything in scripture is on purpose, yeah? So when you read from beyond the Dead Sea, even Pastor Mike spoke about it this morning in the Awakened service, there's a reason for this. And if you don't know about the Dead Sea sits in a giant natural dip in the earth. It's the lowest land point on the planet. And this is where the army comes from, the lowest point. These relations come from the lowest point. And when the enemy gets us, and when there's fighting from our families, a lot of the times it's the lowest blow, isn't it? They come from things that you can't imagine. It's a person you thought would never do that. It's something that's said that can't be unsaid. And we see this with Jehoshaphat. It's in the family, and it comes out of nowhere, and it's the lowest blow. And people this week in this room, that's what's happened to you. It's been in the family, it's come out of nowhere, and it's the lowest blow. And the lowest blows can come from home. The Lord sees what went on this week. He knows it. He knows your innocence. He knows what words were said. Can I encourage you, just as I've already talked about, take the spiritual authority over your household in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do not allow the enemy to get one more inch in your home. Here's the third thing that we see with King Jehoshaphat when he didn't know what to do. Don't panic. Now, some people, when a crisis happens, they scream, they shout, they roll on the floor. Do we know those people? Yeah. Oh, are they in the room? Yeah. No. Some people, when there's a crisis, they run. Usain Bolt, out the gap. Some people in a crisis, they're cool and calm and collected. Anyone like that? Okay, we're going to call you. Hallelujah. People react all different ways. But look how King Jehoshaphat reacts. Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news and begged the Lord for guidance. I love this because Jehoshaphat isn't trying to be the big man. I got this and I don't need anything. Jehoshaphat's reaction too isn't, I'm going to get my cousins back. I'm going to call all the lads and let's get them. His reaction isn't, let me speak to the armies and leaders and figure out a strategy or a plan. His reaction isn't turning to drink or getting on to one of his girlfriends, or there's nothing like that. His reaction isn't to isolate and take to the bed. He expresses the emotion, he's terrified, and what's his reaction? He begs the Lord for guidance. When was the last time you begged the Lord for something? Because when you beg, you're humble in it. You're on your knees. You'll do anything. He doesn't try and take matters into his own hand over the crisis. He goes to God. Brothers and sisters, that's our first port of call. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But we need to be quick when things happen. Some people freeze. Some people run. Some people get other people involved. He goes straight to God. Jehoshaphat's first battle isn't the war. It's his mind. He's heard the war is coming, but he's not in it. You've heard the Cork case date, but you're not in it. You're going to be in the waiting room, but you don't have the results. The bill has shown up, but you've got 30 days to pay it. It starts up here. The war is in the mind. That's the other place that the enemy gets you to go. He'll get you to think of all the scenarios. This is going to go wrong. What if God doesn't provide? You got in this situation again. You're useless. You're stupid. You're this. You're that. No, 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 no. We're not to do that. Look what Jehoshaphat does. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin what?
A fast.
And people are like, no, I don't want a fast. The Bible says, not if you fast, but when you fast. Okay, people of God, you know your word. When you're in a crisis, you better go to God on your knees, and you better get fasting, and you better get the people of God fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to what? To seek the Lord's
help.
They didn't come to gossip. They didn't come to get a plan together to get the cousins. They didn't come just to hang out. They came to seek the Lord's help. There is power in us coming together as the people of God and praying and fasting. Never be too proud to ask your brothers and sisters in Christ for support spiritually. In your crisis and in his crisis, he gets into God's presence and he gets around God's people. If you're in a crisis, that's what you do. God's presence isn't just here on a Sunday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's presence is in your car when you're crying. God's presence is when you're on the ground in your kitchen going, what am I going to do? God's presence is in the middle of that fight that you think is going to boil over. God's presence is in that meeting room and work where the boss says, I need to talk to you. God's presence is everywhere. Call on the name of the Lord. And we see this with King Jehoshaphat. He has this, a crisis prayer. Do you have a crisis prayer? Okay, people of God who've been walking for a while, we know what that is. But King Jehoshaphat had a very unusual crisis prayer. He didn't start his prayer going, help! He didn't start his prayer going, God, you need to sort this out. He didn't start his prayer going, God, I'm terrified. He does three things in his prayer. The first is this. He declares God's character. God, you are this. He's not talking about his problem. God knows your problem. But do you know your God? It's not how big your problem is. It's how big your God is. He declares his character. Then he reminds himself of God's faithfulness. God, you did all these miracles. Has God done miracles in your life?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try that again. I heard it over here. Has God done miracles in your life?
Yes.
Okay, you better remind yourself of them. Never forget what the Lord has done. And if you have, you can do two things. Read through all the miracles in the Bible, because they're still true for today. Or the people of God around you go, girl, what did God do in my life before? Because I forget. Remind me of the testimony. Remind me what the Lord has done. You need to know and remember the faithfulness of God. And the third thing he does in his crisis prayer is he admits his needs. He doesn't pretend that he has it all together. He admits his weakness. Will we read what he does?
Yes.
Okay, Michael is with me. Okay, church, we're getting there. Okay, let's read what he does. Here's God's character. He prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
You are powerful and mighty. Read it with me. No one... One more time. No one. Not your boss. Not the government. Not the judge. Not the guard. No one can stand against your God. God's faithfulness. He says, oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? These armies are trying to take the land that God has given them. And he's saying, did you not protect us? Did you not provide? And we see it here. He admits his needs. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, any problem, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before this temple where your name is honored, we can cry out to you to save us. And you will, this is the promise, you will hear us and rescue us.
Amen.
God doesn't just hear you, he'll rescue you.
Amen.
He will save you, he will deliver you. He is Yeshua.
Yes.
Oh, our God, won't you stop them? Absolutely, he will. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. That was his prayer. God's character, God's faithfulness, and admits his need. If you are in a crisis, that's a great way to pray.
Amen.
If you want to take out a phone and snap a picture the next time you're in a crisis, remember that. Remember, that's a great order to pray over whatever is going on. And the final thing is this. We see when we don't know what to do. Keep your eyes on God. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. See, when we're in crises, when life is falling apart, or something comes out of the blue, or there's wars that are happening in our lives, usually our eyes can go to the ground. We get discouraged. We're confused. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. We're just seeing things in the physical. Sometimes we are looking around and we're comparing. That person's life seems to be fine. Or God made a way for them. But what about me? Sometimes we're looking around so much we can get into a spin, can't we? What's the song? You spin me right round, baby, right round like a... Not the time, Dara. We need to be holy, amen? People are like, what's that song? That's okay. Don't need to know. It's very hard to keep our eyes up on the Lord. Because when we're in crisis, it's hard to keep your head up. It's hard to see God when all these threats are coming in. And the people of God were the same. They didn't know what to do, but they knew to keep their eyes on God. You're here today and you're going, I don't know what to do. Keep your eyes on God. And what we finished on was this. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel. Next week we're going to look at the prophecy and the war and how it played out. Obviously God won, duh. It's for next week. But when I was reading this scripture again, I looked into the meaning of this guy's name. And I'm going, Lord, why did you choose this man? Because this is Old Testament. You have access to the Holy Spirit right now. God can speak to you right now. But in the Old Testament, God would choose only certain people. And he chooses this guy. And as we read, the people said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And before God speaks through this man, before he gives the prophetic word, he reveals his name and what it means. And his name means this. God sees. And God says the same to you today. Before you get a word from God on what to do next, before you go into the battlefield, before you get delivered, God sees. When you're overlooked, when you're ignored, God sees. When you're heartbroken, you're frustrated, you don't know what to do, God sees. But your job and my job is to keep our eyes on the Lord. But God wants to remind people today, he sees you. He sees the situation. He's not forgotten. He's not turning a blind eye. He's not going, figure it out. He's going, I see you. I see you. Brothers and sisters, will we stand to our feet? And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We close our eyes and we're going to pray right here and right now. Do you want to lift your hands up to heaven? The prayer is very simple today. It's this. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That's it. So as the worship band starts strumming up, we're going to pray for that. So if that's your prayer, lift your hands up high to the Lord. Hallelujah. And here's what I want you to do. Lift your head up, your chin up, as if you're looking up at God. And with one of your hands, place it over your eyes. Because we're going to pray over your eyes that they keep on the Lord. So head up and put a hand over your eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person who is looking to you right now, who does not know what to do, Lord. We thank you for their humility, that they are not proud, but they are willing to say, God, I need your help. That they're not running away from the problem or running to a person, they're running to you, God. We know that you know what to do. You have the best for us. You have the right paths. You will open the doors. You will close the doors. You'll put the right people around us, Lord. But right now, we just need you, Lord. Help us. Help these eyes, not just physically, but spiritually, keep focused on you. We thank you, Lord, that you see us, Heavenly Father, that we are known by you by name, that every single detail of our life you are so aware of. And I pray, God, that over this coming week, we would see miracle after miracle, moment after moment, conversation after conversation, where we know that you see us, Lord. I pray over our week ahead, God, that there would just be divine moments with you, Lord. We thank you that whatever we're facing, you're right there with us, God. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be afraid. We know that you are mighty and powerful. We know all the things that you have done for us, and you won't let us down. We hold on to these promises. And the people of God said, amen. I want to pray specifically for the people who've had war in their family this week. It's come out of nowhere. You don't know what's going on, but you know you need the Lord in it. Can I ask you, if that's you, can everyone close their eyes? If that's you, will you raise a hand to heaven? Okay, we see the families. We see the families. Okay, let's pray over these brothers and sisters in the room. Lord, we thank you for families and that you've given them to us. I pray for all the families represented, Lord, where there's been a war this week. We know that you're in control. We know that the battle belongs to you, Lord. And we claim the authority that we have through the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed shall come against us. And over these households, Lord, let your precious blood guard the doors. I pray, God, that any attack, plan, scheme of the enemy will not succeed on these families. We pray for unity in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for divine intervention. We pray for a change of hearts, Lord. Let families be restored in this place, God. You have created families, so you know exactly what happens, God, when the enemy comes in. We look to you, Lord. We know that you see us. Heavenly Father, will you make a way this week for those families? And for everyone in this room, lift our hands to the Lord. Final prayer for the week ahead. God, we thank you for the week that's just happened. We do not take a day of life for granted. And we pray for the coming week ahead. Go before us, be beside us, go behind us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would hold and cling on to your word this week. Whatever happens, when we do not know what to do, we keep our eyes on you. We hold firm to the promises of God. Give us grace this week. Bless our week. Heavenly Father, use us this week. Let us be your hands and feet and show the love of God to everyone that we meet. We honor you, Lord. We trust you. And keep the people of God safe until we meet again. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah.